From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the law of God as he brings another portion of a message entitled Love for God. The text is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, where the Lord Jesus Christ answered a lawyer's question about which is the great commandment, replying that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. The power of true Christianity is love for God and man. According to Christ, love for God is demonstrated by a hearty obedience to His commandments. In just a few moments, Dr. Cairns will explain the elements in love for God. First of all, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. When a believer has fallen to a low, sad state of feeling, he often tries to lift himself out of it by chastening himself with dark and doleful fears. Such is not the way to rise from the dust, but to continue in it. As well chain the eagle's wing to make it mount, as doubt in order to increase our grace. It is not the law, but the gospel which saves the seeking soul at first, and it is not a legal bondage, but gospel liberty which can restore the fainting believer afterwards. Slavish fear brings not back the backslider to God, but the sweet wooings of love allure him to Jesus' bosom. Are you this morning thirsting for the living God, and unhappy because you cannot find him to the delight of your heart? Have you lost the joy of religion, and is this your prayer? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Are you conscious also that you are barren like the dry ground, that you are not bringing forth the fruit unto God which he has a right to expect of you, that you are not so useful in the church or in the world as your heart desires to be? Then here is exactly the promise which you need. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You shall receive the grace which you so much require, and you shall have it to the utmost reach of your needs. Water refreshes the thirsty. You shall be refreshed. Your desire shall be gratified. Water quickens sleeping vegetable life. Your life shall be quickened by fresh grace. Water swells the buds and makes the fruits ripen. You shall have fructifying grace. You shall be made fruitful in the ways of God. Whatever good quality there is in divine grace, you shall enjoy it to the full. All the riches of divine grace you shall receive in plenty. You shall be, as it were, drenched with it. And as sometimes the meadows become flooded by the bursting rivers, and the fields are turned into pools, so shall you be. The thirsty land shall be springs of water.
Let thy blessing
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Biblical meaning of love is settled by the law of God. What is love? Love is a hearty obedience to the Lord's commandments. Let me make that clear. Love, scripturally, never flies in the face of the Word of God. Love never flies in the face of the commandments of God. Love never disregards the law of God. Love is a hearty obedience to the Lord's commandments. That's not my opinion. That's the statement of Scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. There you see the power of love. The carnal man says this is so inhibitory. The carnal man cannot understand how we may willingly and joyfully walk within the definition set out by the law of God. To the carnal man, the law of God is denying him an expression of the lustfulness and the wickedness of his heart. But to the believer, to the Christian, the commandment of God is not grievous. In fact, it is pleasant. Because rather than curbing what we desire to express, it enables us to express it by restraining the corruptions of the old man. John goes on to say in 1 John 2 verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So God's, the love that we profess can never be an excuse for breaking God's law. Now with these things in mind, let us consider this royal law of love. It has two main thrusts, love for God and love for man. And here then is the doctrine of our text. The whole duty of man is to love the Lord with his whole being, and consequently to love his neighbor as himself. In one sentence, that's the Savior's teaching here. The whole duty of man is to love God with his whole being, and consequently to love his neighbor as himself. Thus the law of God commands us to love God. Something that's very often overlooked, and I'm going to spend a little time on it in due course. It commands us to love ourselves. And then it commands us to love our neighbor. Notice, you love your neighbor as yourself. Three objects then that the law of God commands us to love: God, ourselves, and our neighbor. Now tonight we're going to concentrate on the first of those. I thought I'd better put that in because there were a few furrowed brows around. Knowing the progress I have made thus far, they're saying, well now, if we have these three things, this sounds like one of those puritanic tomes in the making, and we may well be here until prayer meeting on Wednesday night. But no, I'm going to limit this to the first, that we should love the Lord with our entire being. And as we think of that, I want to notice three simple things about this love for God. Let me tell you where we're going, give you a road map, so that you'll be able to follow me very simply. We're going to talk mostly about the elements in love for God. What actually constitutes love for God? And then we're going to take a little time to look at the exercise of this love for God. How does the Savior teach us that we should love God? And then there'll be just a word, because this really is leading into the next message, of the effects of love for God. Now then, let's start at the beginning. The elements in love for God. What are the ingredients? What are those things that make up a genuine love for God? That may seem such a very simple question, but to prove that it's not so simple, I ask you to put it to yourself just now. And you may find a little difficulty in going beyond what I've just said, that love is always a hearty obedience to God's command. But you still haven't given what are the things that comprise it and compose it. The first is a knowledge of God. I was reading Thomas Boston, and I'll make two or three references to the great Scottish theologian. Thomas Boston was a Scotsman whose commentary, if you could call it that, whose observations on the Westminster Shorter Catechism, while not as easy to read to modern people as some of the others that are available, is still, in my opinion, probably the best. A great, great preacher, a great scholar, a great theologian, and most of all, a great saint. Thomas Boston said, "An unseen but not an unknown God can be loved with all the heart, soul, strength, and mind." And then he said this, "Ignorant souls cannot love God." Think of that. Ignorant souls cannot love God. You can't love what you don't know. You can't love whom you don't know. And if you don't have a knowledge of God, you can't love God. Your knowledge of God will be in direct, or your love for God will be in direct proportion to your knowledge of God. So to love Him, we first must know Him. And thus the primary means of producing a love for God is to create a knowledge of God. Now that sounds very simple, but what happens effectively today? Preachers recognize that their congregations grow cold in heart. They don't have a love for God as they ought to have. They don't have a love for souls as they ought to have. So how do they set about stirring it up? They have all sorts of methods. They have all sorts of schemes. They have all sorts of proposals. They have all sorts of drives, and they bring in special motivational speakers. God save us in the church from motivational speakers. Oh, every preacher should motivate. My friend, if our motivation is not a knowledge of God, it is not of God at all. Let's understand it. If we're going to love Him, it will only be because we know Him. The primary means of producing true love for God is to produce a true knowledge of God. And that means that the way to produce love is first to use the Scriptures, to get back to the book. You remember what the bride said in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8? She said, "The voice of my beloved." That should be the word that spills from every redeemed soul as we come to God's book. My friend, let me caution you, especially as we're starting a new year, and many of you have started a new program of Bible reading, and you've set yourselves to read the Bible through this year. I trust you will. I trust you will. I've read this book from cover to cover, year after year after year after year, and many times, two or three times in one year, for many, many years now. But I warn you from my own experience as well as watching others, do not become a slave to some little chart where you suddenly feel guilty. I'm 10 chapters behind, and you start reading the Bible merely to fulfill a duty, and there is no sense that this is the voice of my beloved. Here, my friend, is no ordinary book. Here is the very Word of God. Here is where God speaks to our souls. I would rather take a day pondering one single verse of Scripture and have God speak to me and show Himself to me and reveal Himself to me than to read a whole book of the Bible and then sit back, puff out my chest, say how much I have read today, but have heard nothing from God. The Scriptures are to teach us about our God. In all your reading, know God. I have often given to people what I have called the Ten Commandments of Bible study, so that when they read a chapter, they will glean from that chapter those things that are most important to their spiritual growth. And one of the first things to ask is, what does this chapter teach me about God? Then what does it teach me specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you were simply to focus even on those two things in every chapter of the Bible that you read, you'd find it would revolutionize your Bible reading, because it would teach you of your God. The Scriptures then are a primary means of producing a true love for God. The gospel is a primary means of producing a true love for God. Why? Because the light of the knowledge, notice the word, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. Where will you get a light, the light of the knowledge of God's glory, when you're gazing into the face of the Savior? Theologians debate whether there is any integrating theme in the Bible. The very fact that they debate it shows how basely they have been corrupted in their intellects and how far their hearts are from the knowledge of God. There should be no debate about it. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself took the whole canon of the Old Testament Scriptures and He opened them up and He showed the things concerning Himself. Genesis to Malachi, the message is Christ. Matthew to Revelation, the message is Christ. In all His fullness, in all His glorious grace, in all His saving power, Jesus Christ. And as you get into the Bible, my friend, learn the gospel. To some people that sounds a very simple thing. Is not the gospel, come to Jesus and He'll forgive your sin? Actually, no, that is hardly first cousin to the gospel. That is an invitation we can make on the ground and basis of the gospel. But the gospel is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of the mighty intervention of God in a covenant of grace through Jesus Christ, our mediator and our Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.